Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at aloramodernwellness.com.
One of the fun things is when you're the week two opponent of Mississippi State, you get to be on the show twice in a very short time span with the way we do things here on Thunder and Lightning. Brad Denny joins us again. Speak of the Devils ASU football podcast, where you might hear a familiar voice if you tune in a little later this week. Also with 3TV and CBS5. And Brad, we'll just get right to it. Your thoughts after week one there in Tempe, a game that, you know, when you just look at the score, you think, wow, that's not the most impressive margin of victory over an FCS team. What do I take away from those of us who didn't watch that game in its entirety?
I'm still not sure, because there was so much that was very uncharacteristic about the Sun Devils' performance from what we've seen in the prior 2 years under Kenny Dillingham. First and foremost, the penalties, by far a program high under Dillingham, just not just the amount of penalties, but the timing of the penalties. There was a three-play span where one negated a 75-yard touchdown run by Malik Brown, and then Malik McClain had a 64-yard catch negated on the very next play. And then, as the fans were giving the ref, the business a little bit, Sam Levitt got a delay of game penalty because he was trying to calm them down. They were at that point backed up pretty far. Overall, though, like, there were some big plays. Sam Levitt threw two touchdowns. Jordan Tyson, the All-American, our preseason All-American wide receiver, had a huge game, 12 catches. That combination is picking up right where it left off. Sam Levitt also had two rushing touchdowns. The ground game was pretty good, probably underutilized. The defense was overall pretty good, especially on third down, holding them to two of 15 third down conversions. The third team defense gave up a touchdown in the waning seconds to close that gap a little bit. But overall, it was certainly not the dominating performance that a lot of ASU fans had. There's some nervous folks. ASU fans historically have a little bit of anxiety whenever ASU comes into a season with expectations. So that game didn't help a little bit. So I think on Saturday night, we'll see what perhaps this 2025 version of the Sun Devil team is going to look like.
I was pleasantly surprised here in Hattiesburg, watching Mississippi State's cornerbacks. That's an issue that I thought for State was going to be by far their weakest spot. They played really well down there at USM. But you mentioned Jordan Tyson. This is a guy who is likely a top 10 pick when we get to the NFL draft last year. 12 catches, as you mentioned. This receiving core as a group, what do you think about them outside of Tyson? If State is able to, I don't think you can shut him down, but I think you can maybe limit him in some ways. If they can do that, who has to step up for the Sun Devils?
There's a couple of candidates, but we're still kind of waiting to see, because we thought, you know, this is going to be a much deeper wide receiver room. Malik McClain has a full year in the system. Jaron Hamilton was an Alabama transfer who, since about the second week of spring practice all the way through fall camp, just set the defense on fire. He was a deep threat. He played a snap on Saturday, which is kind of confusing a little bit. Jalen Moss is their slot guy who had over 100 career catches at Fresno State. He was lightly targeted. It was really just Sam locking in so much on Jordan Tyson. And even the deeper tight end group also didn't see a whole lot thrown their way. Now, after the game, Kenny Dillingham said that it was really just basically kind of taking what the NAU defense was giving him. But obviously you have somebody like Jordan Tyson, you're going to want to get him the ball a lot. But I really would look for Malik McClain. He is a bigger guy, 6'4", 6'5". Former Florida State and Penn State transfer as well. If there were not some penalties, his stat line would look a lot better than just two catches, 5 yards. He was looking pretty good. And really was curious to see if Jaron Hamilton, who is coming off such a strong camp against a good ASU defense, would be a little bit more involved. So if they are, in fact, going to try to do what they can to take away Jordan Tyson, those two guys would really need to step up.
Interesting matchup there, because State has some big corners. Kelly Jones is 6'4". Diego Brumfield is 6'1". So that, you know, we talk about big receivers versus big corners. That could be a very fascinating matchup. When I go back a year ago to this game, The stat that stands out for almost everybody is the rushing yards for Arizona State. 346 yards rushing. Cam Scottaby with 262 yards. By himself, I didn't realize he didn't have a touchdown in that game until right now. I'm looking at the box score. How on earth did that happen? But what stands out to me is the other side. Mississippi State, 27 rushes for 24 yards. Even if you take the sacks out that Blake Shapen did, you're still only talking about maybe a total of 50 yards rushing in this game. Arizona State's defensive line absolutely controlled this game a season ago. Can they do that again?
It's basically the entire same group coming back as well. ASU has so much experience up front, and one of the things that has been a familiar refrain throughout the offseason is Kenny Dillingham saying, praising the defensive line for their commitment to just taking it up a next level. You know, for example, defensive end Clayton Smith added 20 pounds of muscle, but is also quicker. We've seen some of the guys in the interior, especially, that have been critical to this, you know, the success that ASU's had against the run last year and into the early part of this year. CJ Fight was all Big 12 honors a season ago. Jacob Kungaika. I think it's really going to be interesting to see exactly how they're going to be able to, now facing a better and a bigger offensive line, are they going to be able to keep up that level of success and domination in the trenches? I think the question up front is going to be the pass rush, but I think in terms of the run defense, you got that good front line, and ASU uses the two starting linebackers in Jordan Crook and Keyshawn Elliott. They're entering both their second years in this defensive system, and I think they have been playing really well all offseason or throughout fall camp, and I think that that front six is going to be really key, I think, going forward, and I have confidence that they'll be able to be, you know, maybe not as dominant, but I think, you know, throughout the course of this season, it should be another formidable group.
Who's a player from Saturday night that maybe coming into the game you didn't have much expectation of, that showed you something on Saturday that you were thinking, wow, I didn't know about this guy?
Well, let's say on offense, I would say Relik Brown, only because we hadn't seen it in a game situation. He is a former five-star recruit, so he came with some accolades. Transferred over from USC, but has just never been able to stay healthy. But in the bits and pieces, we've been able to see tremendous, you know, burst. Nearly took a punt, the first punt return of the game to the house. The turf monster got him there about the 50-yard line. Had a 75-yard would-be catch and run negated by a penalty. But he's a guy that, you know, it was good to see him. Now, he only had like about three touches last year before a hamstring injury sidelined him. But to see him actually get out there on the field, under the lights, and do some things was, I think, pretty impressive for me to see. On the defensive side, this is a guy that may be a little bit deeper down the depth chart, but Albert Smith is a young redshirt freshman defensive end. You know, it's kind of hard to get some playing time with such a veteran D-line, but he got in there a little late on the smaller side, but really impressive burst, was able to get his hands up in a passing lane and tip a ball that was later intercepted. So I think that's a guy that, you know, outside the kind of the returning starters, the familiar faces for anybody who watched last year's game, could be a guy that in certain situations could be brought in to bring a little bit of explosiveness to the pass rush.
A year ago, this win kind of launched Arizona State's season. You know, I think coming into it, there was a lot of what are the Sun Devils going to be? They win this game, they win it relatively convincingly, and they're off and running towards the college football playoff. What does a win mean for them this year? And conversely, if they aren't able to get the job done here in Starkville, what does a loss mean for them?
Yeah, I think this game is suddenly even more interesting than it was maybe just a couple days ago, just because of how uninspiring their week one win was. And so a win on the road in SEC country, I think, quiets those doubters and those ASU fans who are always afraid of the expectations. Okay, maybe this team is who we thought they were, and they can get things going in a very winnable Big 12. Flip side, they lose this game, and all of a sudden, like the warning bells are going off. You know, even it's a non-conference game, so in the big picture, it may not hurt them so much. So, you know, they're coming in as probably a top 10 team, they'll still be ranked. All their goals are still in front of them, but I just think narratively speaking, confidence-wise, it could be like deal a pretty devastating blow for a team that's just looking to – that's been hearing the chirps all offseason long. Can they do it without Cam Scadbu? Can they do it without Scott? It's going to be interesting to see it, you know, exactly how they come out with, you know, from the mental side of things, knowing that there's a little bit of a pressure and that the home folks are a little restless.
Yeah. This is a game, you know, in a week two schedule of college football that there's just not a lot of marquee games. This is a game that's very interesting, and I think we'll have some national attention, especially with Arizona State likely sliding into the top 10 tomorrow when the new AP poll comes out with all the flow of the weekend. Brad Denny, are you coming to Starkville?
I am, yeah, flying all out right. On Friday, and yeah, I was like, I was listening to one of your prior podcasts, and the that smoked meat place was
check it out. You can't go wrong at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Our listeners will tell you. Appreciate your time, Brad. We'll look forward to seeing you in the press box.
Awesome, thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.